All right, I hope everybody's doing well. I hope maybe that everybody's warm while we're all snowed in here. I've been having a little time to dig in and study the Word of God for a little while today. I hope you've been having a good day. I'm going to try to go over some things in Exodus with you. And I really don't know where to start. I look like a mad scientist out here. I've got books and scraps of paper, notebooks, and Bibles and things opened all over the place. So maybe something to be said that'll be a blessing to you and a help to you today. I'm going to pick it up in Exodus 25, verse 10. And we're going to be talking about and reading about the tabernacle and the directions that the Lord gave concerning how He wanted everything laid out. And the order of it. And the Bible says in the book of Romans, all these things are written for our admonition, for our comfort. And the Bible says that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. There's all kinds of learning in here. Even though a lot of these things aren't doctrinally to us, we can get all kinds of learning that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. And the Bible said all Scriptures is profitable and given for doctrine and for instruction in righteousness. And so we're going to go over some of these things and just look at all kinds of application. You know, as you read the Bible, it's important to remember that you have a historical application to the Scripture. These things really did happen in history. The Bible is a book that records true historical events. Also, you have a doctrinal application. That'll be the mail that will be directly addressed to whatever group the Lord was addressing in that dispensation. Also, then you'll have a spiritual application. And so we're going to make, Lord willing, some practical application out of these things as well that we'll be reading out of this Old Testament scripture here today. And we're in verse 10 that says, "And they shall make an ark of shittim wood, 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and a cubit and a half the breadth thereof, and a cubit and a half the height thereof." Now, by way of practical application, as we read these verses here, I want you to see there's all kind of typology. There's pictures all throughout the Bible that give us application and that point to the Lord Jesus Christ and give us illustrations on how we should live our life in Christ. And there's a type of Christ in this tabernacle that we need to be mindful of. You'll read in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20, talks about how by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. So when you're reading these things, you see pictures and types of the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only that, then you're going to see, as we study the tabernacle and the things of it, you're going to see the type of a Christian as well in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 4, I believe it is. The Bible says, "For though for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up." The Bible says, "up of life," and I believe it was verse 1, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." So you had an earthly tabernacle that was a pattern and a picture of a heavenly tabernacle. Now we have an earthly body, and then we're going to get a heavenly body one of these days when we meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And so He's going to give us that. So you got a type of Christ in these things. You got a type of a Christian in these things. And then also you have a type of creation. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 10, I believe it is. Let's see if I can get over here. excuse me here, Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 10, the Bible says, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment." So you're gonna see these things as we read the type of creation. You had this tabernacle. It had three parts to it, and so you had you have pictures here in the Bible where just as this thing had three parts, you got three heavens. And as you study the Bible, you'll find out all kinds of things. This Bible is so vast that you can never just get it all in one swoop. So I will fail to do this passage complete justice. We'll try our best to go over it as best as we can, but I'll try my best to give you what I do know of it and what I can of it. That other verse that I was looking at about the tabernacle being the picture of the universe was Hebrews 8, verse 5. The Bible says, "Who serve under the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount." So I'm just trying to show you through the scripture that I will in no wise do this passage justice. There'll be things revealed and the vast amount of detail given by the Lord in these next chapters that there's no telling what's in here that the Lord could open to somebody one of these days. I mean, it's just endless amount of information, and the Bible really, really is a wonderful, wonderful book that you could never plumb all the depths of, just especially in just even a few sittings of studying these things. So also, I think it was Hebrews 9, verse number 23 was another one. I literally have too much sitting in front of me. The Bible says, "It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these." That had to do with the sacrifices of that tabernacle, and it's just so much. So we're going to start off with some practical application here, and I see a few things in this. I want you to see in as we read verse number 11, "And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold within and without, shalt thou overlay it, and shalt make upon it a crown of gold round about." I want you to see that according to the Bible, when you read verse 10, the tabernacle begins with the presence of God in the Holy of Holies, because it's inside the holiest of all, according to Hebrews 9:3. It works its way outward to the center at the brazen altar of sacrifice. Now you'll read that in Exodus 38:30. So what you're going to find out is, as you're studying this, is everything begins with the Lord. The Bible says in Jonah 2:9, you know, Old Testament, salvation is of the Lord. Well, guess what? Salvation, no matter where you're at, is of the Lord. No matter what dispensation you're, everything begins with God. This thing starts off with God. So it's talking about our fellowship with God. They had to have this to have fellowship with God. Well, you know what? In our fellowship with the Lord, we see some things in here that is needed. Now, to have fellowship with the Lord, you see over here in verse number 11, it says, "Overlay it with pure gold." There's purity. Now, I have no purity of myself. I have no, my humanity is not pure. It's unclean. There's none good, no, not one. But you know what we have? In the Lord Jesus Christ, of which this is a picture of, you can get Christ's righteousness and you can have fellowship with God. Not only that, but you have to have precision. They had to do it exactly like he said, when you read verses 12 all the way down, and you get down to verse number 16, he talks about, and thou shalt cast four rings of gold for it, and put them in the four corners thereof, and two rings. He goes on, and they had to be precise in what they did. Well, you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ kept everything God said of that law precisely. He was precise. Look, you read this law, it will make you appreciate your salvation. You cannot keep all these things, but the Lord Jesus Christ kept it perfect. And because I've trusted what he did for me on the cross, and if you've done that, you have that purity, you have that precision because of what he did, and the life he lived is attributed to you. And you have that that perfect, sinless, pure, precise life of the Lord Jesus Christ lived before the Father attributed to you. Not only that, purity, precision, but I see propitiation. In verse number 17 it says, "And thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold." There's your propitiation right there. I thank the Lord Jesus Christ for the propitiation that we have in him. You know, the Bible said in Psalm 32, verse 1, is the Psalm of David. It said, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." Now, it's one thing to have your sin covered, and in the Old Testament, they had really good things. But I want you to know that in Christ, who is better than these things here. These things were types and shadows of what you have offered you today. But I want you to know that not only are your sins covered, but, and that is a blessing, but they're completely taken away in Christ. They're gone. You know what the Bible says of you? The Bible says in Romans 3, verse 28, or 25, rather, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. On this mercy seat, that's where the blood was to be applied, was on that mercy seat. Guess what? It says, through faith in his blood, I've placed my faith and trust in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you have too. What? To declare his righteousness, not my righteousness. I have no right minds like filthy rags. For the remission of sins that are passed to the forbearance of God. Guess what? All those sins are gone. They're washed under the blood. They're never, never to be found again. Why? Because I have the righteousness, I have the propitiation of the Lord, and how did it come? Through faith in his blood. Through faith in his blood. Now, that is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Now, there's an interesting thing also about this wood here. This is a specific kind of wood, and Mr. C.H. Bright says, of this wood, it was a species of the acacia, which is said by many to be imperishable. It is a tree which is found in the arid desert. The shittim wood grown here on earth typified the humanity of our Savior. Isaiah 53 verse 2 speaks in the language of this type. He says, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground." Look at that. He says there are three things about this tree which makes it particularly fitting as a type of this. It is the tree now called the Acacia. It's spelled S-E-Y-A-L. I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce it, but the only tree that grows to any size in the deserts through which Israel passed. First, it is a tree that can thrive in a very dry soil. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. The Lord, yes, he's able to thrive in a dry soil. Don't you know that this ground here was dry without the Lord Jesus Christ, the water of life? And you know how you're going to survive the dryness and the barrenness of this world? In the Lord Jesus Christ. See, you get in him. He is that ark. You get in him. You're preserved in him. And no matter how dry this world gets, you're able to have any thirst that you have is able to be quenched in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank the Lord for that. Why? You need a spiritual quenching of that thirst that only can be given through the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember that woman at the well? She came in the heat of the day, and she came with her water pot. And you know what? After she met the Lord Jesus Christ, she dropped that water pot and went out and told everybody. You know why? Because her physical thirst no longer superseded that spiritual thirst. She had been quenched spiritually, and she went out and she went to tell other people. There's something to be said for a spiritual feeding, and she got that in the Lord Jesus Christ. Second, it has very long, sharp thorns. You see that thing that represents that crown of thorns that was placed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thank God he's crowned with glory. He'll never have those thorns placed on his head again, but you know what? He suffered so we didn't have to suffer. You're talking about an imperishable tree. Don't you know that they thought that he was gone, but he conquered death, hell, and the grave? I tell you something. Thank the Lord he took the curse. One of those thorns represent that curse, and that imperishable tree of the Lord Jesus Christ took those things. Third, it is the tree from which is obtained the gum arabic, so largely used in medicinal preparations, which is procured simply by piercing the tree at nightfall. Man, isn't that something? Here's the Lord. He comes, and guess what? They betray him by night and have that trial by night and everything else. And here's the Lord. He's been saying he's the light of the world, the light of the world. And they put him on the cross, and the lights goes out. It's amazing. The Father testified to his Son, said he was, and he is the light of the world. Isn't that something? By nightfall, and that which oozes out is, without any preparation, the gum arabic of commerce. So you know what the Lord's able to do because of what he did and how he shed his blood in nightfall. You'll see he's the balm that we need through that bleeding Lamb of God. You know what we need? We need that healing that comes through that, and those medicinal properties. Why? The world's sin sick. You know what's wrong with the world? They need the Lord Jesus Christ. The sin sickness is worse than any other sickness that you have. And I can tell you something. They need more of a cure of that than they do anything else. I've got a tract that someone sent me in the mail. It says COVID-19. It started in one place and spread until everyone on earth was in danger. It is invisible to the naked eye. You do not see it coming for you until it is too late. Once inside, it begins to do many hurtful things which can bring pain and unhappiness. 4, it affects everyone in one way or another. 5, the cost to individuals, families, businesses, and communities cannot be truly measured. It is no wonder people are acting out of fear and concern, doing all that they can to deliver themselves and others from this terrible virus. Every right-thinking person is hoping for a way of escape. Now, sin, it started in one place and spread into everyone on earth was in danger. You see the connection there? Sin sickness is the worst sin. That's what you need deliverance for more than anything. Now look, I believe in taking precautions, but I wish people would take more or as much precaution, should be more, but as much precaution for their soul. I wish they worried as much about their soul as they do their body. It is invisible to the naked eye. You do not see it coming for you until it's too late. Same things apply. Once inside, it begins to do many hurtful things which bring pain and unhappiness. It affects everyone in one way or another. The cost to individuals, you better believe it. Families, businesses, and communities cannot be truly measured. Sin will cost you more than you're willing to pay and keep you longer than you're willing to stay, I can tell you. And brothers and sisters, we need the Lord. You know what this tract goes on to say? Wise men and women, acting out of fear and concern, will do all that they can to deliver themselves and others from sin. Every right-thinking person will take the way of escape. That way is Jesus Christ. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now, I thought that was a pretty good track right there, but you know what people need? They need the Lord Jesus Christ, and here's things in here, this particular type of wood, type in the Lord. Now, also, I'd like to say that wood types the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse number 10, here he is. You've got the wood in verse 10, but also verse 11, it says, thou shalt overlay it with pure gold. 100% God, 100% man. He came the first time to a cross, and the next time he's coming to get crowned. You know what? You have the humanity of Jesus Christ. There's the first coming. Then you have the second coming with the pure gold, overlaid it with pure gold. You've got all kinds of things in here. You say, what else could it be? Also, it could be lost humans. Lost humans. Jeremiah chapter 5. And verse number 14 compares people to wood. Compares people to wood. See, you got all kind of applications in Scripture. It's just interesting how the words put together. Verse 14, wherefore thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them. People are like wood. You know what? The Word of God, without the protection of the Lord Jesus Christ, can burn you up. The Lord can with His mouth say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. And you know what? The Word of God is like a fire. You imagine being burnt by the Word of God that you could have been saved by? Now you think of this too. But then it was overlaid with gold in verse 11. Now, people are like wood in the Bible. You got lost people who reject the Word of God like wood. But you know what happens? Christians are like wood too. But you know what happens to you when you trust Jesus Christ? You're overlaid with gold. You know what the Bible talks about when he's talking about nations? And here we are, Gentiles, Romans chapter 11. And he says, thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Now, what's graft? What do you graft things? You graft wood. Now, here we are, we're grafted into the Lord Jesus Christ because Israel's unbelief, they rejected. So the Apostle Paul is apostle of the Gentiles, and he's saying, hey, you're like branches grafted in to the Lord. And I thank God that I'm a brand plucked out of the fire. I thank the Lord Jesus Christ that I have no purity. And I have nothing in and of myself, and neither does anyone else. But you know what? In the Lord, just a piece of wood can be overlaid with gold. You know what? You have things in the Lord Jesus Christ that are pure. Nobody can touch. You got treasures on the other side in glory. No one can touch. You've got a body awaiting you that the Lord's going to give you that's pure, that nobody can touch. Gold. You think about that. That's real gold. That's you've heard of fool's gold. The treasure of this world is fool's gold. But that pure gold right there, that's all in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, isn't that a blessing right there? That's just things out of verse number 10, and we haven't even got started on the universe or anything like that yet. We have to do that in a different study. But I just want to kind of go over some of these things and just show you how wonderful the Word of God is. And so you get down here, and he says, verse 12, and thou shalt cast four rings of gold for it, and put them in four corners thereof, and two rings shall be in the one side of it, and two rings in the other side. See how precise he wants everything done, and he details this out in chapters and chapters on this tabernacle. He would have never wasted any time if this didn't have a supreme amount of importance. He devotes several chapters to this thing, and so it is worthy of our study. And as far as us just trying to meditate on some of these things, and the Bible said in verse 13, "And thou shalt make staves of shittim wood and overlay them with gold, and thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, that the ark may be born with them." Now you think sometimes too, and I know once these staves weren't needed, once the ark got later on, you get over there, I think in the... I think once it got to Solomon's temple, yeah, the staves were taken out of the ark because it wasn't to be moved. That's going to be in 1 Kings 8, verse 8. But you know what we ought to do? Until it gets to the place where we're in our resting place with the Lord, we should hold the Lord up. I believe we ought to hold forth the word of life. Yeah, I can't see Jesus Christ, but I can see him in this word of God. And we should be like those staves. Yeah, we're covered in pure gold. We got the covering of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we should hold him up till one of these days. Yeah, we're up there in glory, and we'll change jobs. We'll have rest, so to speak, in Christ. But we should be holding forth the word of life. And you get here, and it says in verse 14, "And thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, that the ark may be born with them." Now, the ark in the wilderness was carried by staves on the shoulders of the priest as it was being moved. Now, you're going to read about this as we move along. Now, David learned that in 2 Samuel 6, verse 6 to 13, and 1 Chronicles 15, verse 2 and 12 through 13, you're going to find out that they didn't carry it the right way. And I believe that man's name was Uzzah that got struck dead. And 2 Samuel 6, let me turn over here and make sure. I hate to tell you wrong on that. 2 Samuel chapter 6. And let's see here. I want to make sure we... let's see. Verse 6. Yep. "It was Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God." Now, God's got a certain way he wants things done. And I want you to know, God's got a certain way he wanted them to have fellowship with him, and he's got a certain way that he wants you today to have fellowship with him. And it's mentioned, Paul gives you the instructions. And I tell you something, when you read those things over in 2 Samuel chapter 6, and you read this story here about Uzzah being struck, what you're going to find out is a threshing floor in verse number 6. That's a hard level. If you look at, I believe it's Webster Dictionary, that's a hard, level, smooth surface on which grain is threshed. So you know what you have a type here? Since that ark in this testimony and these things we're reading of is how they're supposed to have fellowship with God. So you, if you want to study on how to lose fellowship with the Lord, and these things are written for our learning, you know what you'll find out? Number one, you try to take the path that's smooth. Here they are, they're on a smooth path up there, and guess what happens? They get in trouble. You know what? Walking with God is not always smooth. He never said he came to get you out of trouble. He said he came to get into trouble with you. That's one of the troubles today. You want to know why so many people don't have fellowship with God? It's not that they're not saved. A lot of people have trusted Christ, but they expected a smooth way to go. It's not always like that. You may have a smooth way, and hey, if you do, praise the Lord. That's good. But it's not always going to be that way. You'll lose your fellowship if you think it's always smooth. And again, I'll remind you, I've been told by preachers a lot wiser than myself, it was a smooth stone that went into the forehead of Goliath. And you know what happens? A lot of times, you know what's wrong with a lot of people's head? they think it's always smooth. It's always smooth. It ends up knocking them out. Knocking them out of the game. And also, the second thing is go in your own strength. The Bible says, His hand. In that text. Now, you know what you'll find out? It says, put forth His hand in verse number 6 to the ark of God. You don't need to go in your own strength. You know what we need? We need the strength of the Lord. The Bible says, be strong in Ephesians 6 in the Lord. The trouble is, you want to take it your own way and you want to go in your strength, and that's where you lose that fellowship. The thing that you need to always understand as far as fellowship with the Lord is, you need to do it His way, because as long as you're walking with Him, you're in that yoke with Him. The Bible says, take my yoke upon you, and you know what you're going to find out? If you'll do that, you can go in the strength of the Lord. But whenever you start taking matters into your own hand, say, I'll do this, okay? Well, you're gonna lose that fellowship, and you're going to get weak. And that's something you need to realize there. Also, do things with speed. Oxen. That's something else there that was not prescribed. Here they have these oxen here, and they're just going wide open, and they're going down through here just as fast. And I'm telling you something, this world has gotten everybody sped up. This world has got everybody going so fast they don't have time to think. I've given you the illustration before of reaction time, and that's one reason why the speed limit is posted there. Look, I'm just like anybody else, especially if you got a pickup this fast. My pickup's not a race truck, but it goes fairly fast. And you can get going under there and look down at your speedometer, and all of a sudden you're going 70, and you think, my, I'm about to get a speeding ticket. But you know why the speed limit's set low like it is? For reaction time. People pull out in front of you. A deer jumps out in front of you. Dog walks out in front of you. These things happen. You know why? You need to have a moderate. The Bible said, let your moderation be known unto all men. A moderate pace in life is because you need to have time to react. That's something we all get caught up in. It's got to go, got to go, got to go, got to go. And sometimes, thank the Lord, He slows us down. Like lately, this snow and ice has really slowed us down, and I have really been grateful for the time to study and just be able to pray a little while and work on the prayer list and pray for the church a whole lot and church family and some that have really needed prayer. I've been able to actually concentrate and say, Lord, please help them. They're going through a hard time, and people can't get out, and they need encouragement and help. And sometimes we just need time to slow down and focus and do things in a way that pleases the Lord. Now, what you have is you've got these types here that's interesting for us to study. And what you have is, as you read down here in verse number 14, that instead of the oxen, like we had just read, the ark in the wilderness was carried by staves on the shoulders of the priests. It had a certain way, and you get out of that way, and you get out of fellowship, and that's what you see these types that are for our learning of. Also, when it reached its permanent abode in Solomon's temple, the staves were taken out of the ark, so it couldn't be moved anymore. Again, we read that in 1 Kings 8:8. Now, also in the millennium, there's going to be a 1,000-year millennial reign, according to Revelation chapter 20 and other verses. The ark is no longer needed. Why? Because when you get to the Holy of Holies, Jesus Christ Himself, He is. I love that part where it says, the Lord Himself. All right, well, you're going to have the Lord Himself sitting right there. In Jeremiah chapter 3, 16 and 17, Zechariah chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. So you got these things going on, and look how much we've got to look forward to. And then I'll finish with verse 17. We'll pick it up later on. It says, thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. Now, thank the Lord for that mercy seat. I tell you something. I thank the Lord for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ in the saving of souls, the fact that God is interested in the saving of souls. He's in the creating business. He created the heaven and the earth. And you know what else He'll do? The Bible says He will make you a new creature, brand new. in the Lord. All you have to do is just trust what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you on the cross, and He'll give it to you free. What a Savior indeed. I hope you have a good afternoon, and God bless.